Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Mock. We are in episode 6 of the Gossip series on resisting gossip with Matthew Mitchell, his book here. We are in the second part, considering how to resist gossip. We've looked at what gossip is, bearing bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart. And we looked at the kinds of gossips that exist and the problem of gossip. And now we are we're moving forward to how to resist gossip. And in chapter 4 of his book, he speaks about resisting gossip by believing the best. And so charity undoes gossip. So that's a nutshell of how we would, at least in part, resist gossip, by charitable judgment. So gossip involves judgment. Gossip involves a sinful, unloving judgment of another person. Gossip is against speech. Speech against someone else behind that person's back. And so that against speech is a judgment about that person. And there are some number of passages we can look at, but we're going to spend some time here in James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. So verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." So there is then this command not to speak against our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because by doing that, we are speaking against the law of God, the law of liberty, of law of Christ. And gossip goes against that charitable, that loving view of other people and replaces it with sinful, unloving judgments. So we looked at the five kinds of gossips and tying that unloving judgment with these kinds of gossips, we can summarize what these gossips do in their judgments that are unloving. So for the spy, he tries to get people to feel judgmental enough so that they can spill the beans. Remember, the spy is a peddler of secrets, an informant. He's an eager-eared one, and he loves the scoop. He loves to have the new information, so he is trying to get you to feel judgmental enough, unloving enough to speak bad about someone else, to spill those beans that he wants to collect. The grumbler is the person he is talking about is clearly wrong, and the grumbler merits a grumble, or the person he's speaking about merits a grumble, hence the grumbling. As far as the grumbler is concerned, this grumble is a just grumble. Remember, this is a whisperer who murmurs, who is complaining about another person. And this judgment then that's coming from the grumbler's heart is, there is a sense of justice as well. There's a sense of wrong being done that requires a grumble from the grumbler. It's a lot of grumble words. Third, gossip is the backstabber, as we saw, the one whose heart is bent on hate, revenge, retaliation. And the kind of judgment that comes from this person, an unloving, uncharitable judgment, is that her target deserves the retaliation, the justice that is coming her way. That's coming. So there is legitimate reason for that hatred. And again, there's a connection between the grumbler and the backstabber, but behind the backstabber is that desire to, that malicious desire for vengeance. The chameleon, remember, this person goes along with the gossip and is trying to fit in the crowd because of a fear of man. So this chameleon listens in on the judgments about other people, but is fearfully silent. Here's all these unloving judgments, but doesn't say anything about them. And the busybody, one who is idle, who's not engaged in God-glorifying, purposeful business, person who is gossips for titillation and to live through others, this busybody snickers at those stupid people. So the judgment of the busybody is they are dumb, they're stupid, they're foolish, and they deserve to be seen as fools. Okay, so those are uncharitable, unloving judgments from these five gossips. So we need to resist gossip. And every one of these people needs to resist gossip by putting on love, charity. And one way that we can put on love is by not rushing to judgment. So the passage I read just a moment ago, James 4:11, really has that idea of the brothers and sisters rushing to judgment against one another. They're rushing to speak evil against another person. So we avoid rushing to judgment by, one way that we do rush to judgment is by listening to only one side. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." How many of us are guilty of this? We hear one side of the story, and we immediately believe that person. We believe that story because we heard it first. So any other story that might contradict it has to be wrong because that's the second hearing. The first hearing was about this person's wrongdoing. Well, that's rushing to judgment. So how do we avoid that? Is we suspend judgment. We say, well, you know, if that's the case, then I'm really sorry that that's happened or that you've gone through that. But I do wonder what the other person would have to say if he were here. How would he respond to this accusation? People rush to judgment by not considering the source of information. Proverbs 14:15 says that the simple believes everything. It's you're not called to be to believe all things. Okay, that's not what 1 Corinthians 13 means when it says love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. That is giving people the benefit of the doubt. That's not believing everything. It's not being gullible. Love is not gullible. And when we are rushing to judgment, we're doing that in part because probably we're not considering the source. You should not treat every single person's statements as the same. Just because someone says that you're a bad father or that you're a bad minister or that you're a poor worker or whatever doesn't mean that you are those. It might mean that, but you have to consider the source. Does this person know you? Does this person have your good at heart? Does this person even know your situation? Does this person have malicious intent? Another way that people rush to judgment is by assuming motives. So this denies 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord is the one who is looking at the heart, and the man looks on the outside, right? And of course, we don't know the hearts of men, but we can examine them by the fruit, by the things that they say, by how they act, by how they respond. And rushing to judgment, assuming motives, is rushing to judgment. And I think this is a tragedy because people do often rush to impugn motives. And we need to be quick to resist that temptation. Again, give that person the benefit of the doubt. It might be that after you've talked with them that they actually did have a malicious motive, which then would have to be addressed. okay, people are sinners, and we recognize that there are poor motives. There are sinful motives for why people do things. But the more you talk with them and say and ask questions about why they said or did whatever, then you might find out that you were assigning them motives that they did not intend or self-assign. So we shouldn't be rushing to assign and assume motives. Now, all of this, of course, doesn't mean that we fail to call sin sin. We should do that. We should confront sinners, and we should confront ourselves, obviously. But we should be believing the best. We should not assume the worst. We give the people the benefit of the doubt, and we ask good questions to get at what was going on in their heart. We want to understand someone for why they said something. And we interact with them holding out hope for them. They are not beyond redemption, or reconciliation, forgiveness. So we think about those things when we are talking to people who have sinned against us. So rushing to judgment is an uncharitable judgment. We also have prideful judgments. You know, our main problem is not that we rush to gossip. Our main problem is pride. And see in verse 12, that pride. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So, yeah, the word pride's not used here, but who's that one lawgiver and judge? That's a God, okay? And when we are judging someone's motives, when we are being uncharitable in our judgments, we are taking on the position of judge. We are, in a sense, dethroning God and exalting ourselves as the ones whose law is truth and whose judgments are always right. Well, may that never be. Our judgments are not always right. Too often we don't know the right. We don't have the right picture. We don't have the whole story. So when we are tempted to judge another person and not serve that person with love, we need to ask, is this my place? Is it my place to make this judgment? Is this my job? Am I part of the situation? And if so, what part do I play? Is judging this person my calling? Is it my responsibility? It might be. You might be a member of the session. It might be some governing authority whose job it is to judge and to weigh in on whatever conflict there is or whatever pronouncement was made by someone. It might be your job. But if it's not, then you ought to refrain from making those rushing or prideful judgments. We know that various positions require judgments. If you're a parent or a teacher, you're a coach, a pastor, an elder, those are positions that require judgment, and you would be negligent in your duty if you fail to judge. And the Bible isn't against all judgment, right? Jesus says in John 7, judge with righteous judgment. Don't judge by appearances. That means that we have to consider the matter fully before we can make a judgment. But even in these judgments that are righteous judgments, we must judge with humility. We must judge knowing that hypocrisy is a real threat in our hearts. Remember Matthew 7, 1 through 5, we need to judge as we would like to be judged. So ask, before you make these judgments, how would you have others judge you? With what standard would you be judged? With what tone? How do you like to receive a judgment, a correction, a rebuke? Do you like it when someone comes at you with all of their passion and without any regard for salt and grace, compassion. With what attitude would you want to be judged? So when you ask yourself these questions, you might be in a better position than to offer a charitable judgment, a judgment that that is full of love, even if the judgment is one that the person won't want to hear. Speaking the truth in love doesn't mean that we should only speak things that people want to hear, right? We should be speaking the truth. We don't want to lie to people. And sometimes the truth hurts. But we should always be doing that with compassion and with grace and with a proper understanding of the situation and knowing that we are not their ultimate judge. We serve Christ, and we serve one another, and we should have their good in mind when we speak to them about things that are difficult to hear. Next time, we'll look at still resisting gossip. Instead of just using charitable judgments, we're going to be looking at speaking. And so instead of gossip, how we can speak good words. See you next time.